The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 27, Text Number 5, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on December 25th, 2016, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Atta eva,
atta eva
shanai,
shanai
chittam,
chittam
prasaktam,
prasaktam
asatam,
asatam
pati,
pati
bhakti yogena,
bhakti yogena
tivrena,
tivrena
viraktya,
viraktya
cho,
cho
nayet,
nayet
vasham,
vasham
Atta eva shanaish chittam
Atta eva shanaish chittam
Prasaktam asatam pati
Prasaktam asatam pati
Bhakti yogena tivrena
Bhakti yogena tivrena
Viraktya chadnayed vasham
Viraktya chadnayed vasham
Atta eva shanaish chittam
Atta eva shanaish chittam
Prasaktam asatam pati
Bhakti
yogena tivrena
Bhakti yogena tivrena
Viraktya chadnayed vasham
Viraktya chadnayed vasham
Atta eva
Atta eva
Therefore
Shanai
Gradually
Chittam
Mind,
consciousness,
prasaktam,
attached,
asatam, of material enjoyments,
pati,
on the path,
bhakti yogena,
by devotional service,
tivrena,
very serious, viraktya,
without attachment,
cha, and nayet, he must bring vasham
under control.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. It is the duty of every conditioned soul to engage his polluted consciousness, which is now attached to material enjoyment, in very serious devotional service with detachment. Thus his mind and consciousness will be under full control. Purport. The process of liberation is very nicely explained in this verse. The cause of one's becoming conditioned by material nature is it thinking himself the enjoyer, the proprietor, or the friend of all living entities. This false thinking is a result of contemplation on sense enjoyment. When one thinks that he is the best friend to his countrymen, to society, or to humanity, and he engages in various nationalistic, philanthropic, and altruistic activities, all that is just so much concentration on sense gratification. The so-called national leader or humanist does not serve everyone. He serves his senses only. That is a fact. But the conditioned soul cannot understand this because he is bewildered by the spell of material nature. It is therefore recommended in this verse that one engage very seriously in the devotional service of the Lord. This means that one should not think that he is the proprietor, benefactor, friend, or enjoyer. He should always be cognizant that the real enjoyer is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the basic principle of bhakti yoga. One must be firmly convinced of these three principles. One should always think that Krishna is the proprietor, Krishna is the enjoyer, and Krishna is the friend. Not only should he understand these principles himself, but he should also try to convince others and propagate Krishna consciousness. As soon as one engages in such serious devotional service to the Lord, naturally the propensity to falsely claim lordship over material nature disappears. That detachment is called vairagya. Instead of being absorbed in so-called material lordship, one engages in Krishna consciousness, that is the control of consciousness. The yoga process necessitates controlling the senses. Yoga indriya sansayamaha. Since the senses are always active, their activity should be engaged in devotional service. One cannot stop their activities. If one wants to artificially stop the activities of the senses, his attempt will be a failure. Even the great yogi Vishwamritra, who was trying to control his senses by the yoga process, fell victim to the beauty of Menaka. There are many such instances under one's mind and consciousness. Unless one's mind and consciousness are fully engaged in devotional service, there is always the opportunity for the mind to become occupied with desires for sense gratification. One particular point mentioned in this verse is very significant. It is said here, prasaktam asatang pati. The mind is always attracted by asat, the temporary material existence. Because we've been associated with material nature since time immemorial, we become accustomed to our attachment to this temporary material nature. The mind has to be fixed at the eternal lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayo. One has to fix the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna, then everything will be very nice. Thus, the seriousness of bhakti yoga is stressed in this verse. So, again, here Prabhupada is emphasizing, just as he emphasized yesterday, this aspect of understanding Krishna as the supreme owner, supreme enjoyer, and the best friend. We have a tendency to think ourselves to be the owner, the enjoyer, and the friend. But Prabhupada is emphasizing, again, we must curb this tendency down. Of course, the devotee is the friend. Prabhupada also explains that because Krishna is the best friend, the devotee who is representing Krishna, he is also the best friend. So in that way, the devotee is the friend. That's why our devotees go out to distribute books, to preach, Harinam Sankirtan. These are the activities of actual friendship, of giving love and compassion to those who are caught up in suffering conditions. But apart from giving Krishna consciousness, this so-called friendship is show. Prabhupada points out in today's purport that actually they advertise themselves as the best friend, the benefactor, but actually they're simply engaged in sense enjoyment. So if we can meditate deeply on these points, as Krishna emphasizes in Gita, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantamnichtati. If we can meditate deeply on this fact that Krishna, being the actual proprietor of everything, is the enjoyer of everything, and indeed the best friend of all living entities, and just become absolutely, totally absorbed in thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna, and serving Krishna 24/7, that will be the perfection of our existence. We try to enjoy separately from Krishna, it doesn't work. We've been trying since time immemorial to enjoy separately from Krishna. But that's an artificial position. The hand cut off from the body cannot enjoy anything. So we artificially try to cut ourselves off from God by denying his existence or saying that he's impersonal oneness or so many other misconceptions. Therefore, it's very, very essential that we hear from the Lord himself or for those who are from those who are purely presenting the teachings of the Lord, because we cannot realize the Lord by mental speculation. It is not possible. Our brains are too tiny and insignificant, and the Lord is too great. His greatness is far, far beyond what we can grasp with mundane intelligence. Some say, well, I'll accept only what is rational. But our ability to rationalize is very limited. And our senses are imperfect. Our mind is imperfect. Our senses are imperfect. Our intelligence is imperfect. Therefore, if we actually want to know things as they are, it is only with purified senses. And with purified senses, one can actually experience and understand what is God. They're very proud of their scientific instruments. Yes, by our science we will understand the mysteries of the universe. We now have powerful telescopes. We have powerful microscopes. This is scopes and that is scopes. We will scope out reality with our powerful instruments. But these are simply expanding their sensual powers a little bit. But there's so much that lies beyond. There's a vast, unlimited realm of existence which lies far, far beyond what they can perceive with their senses or with the expansion of their senses, their fancy, sophisticated instruments. But we don't really need all these big, fancy, sophisticated instruments because we have instruments which are much more powerful than their most powerful instruments. And that is our purified senses. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santaksadaivrhideyeshu Valokayanti Yang Shama Shundaram Chinyagunas Varupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahambajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Sham Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. If we can simply learn how to anoint our eyes, our perceptual senses, with the salve of love, then we can see far, far beyond what any scientist can perceive with his instruments. So how does one anoint one's eyes, one's senses with that salve of love? That begins with hearing. As Prabhupada himself credits his hearing as being what enabled him to preach as he was able to preach, by hearing from his spiritual master. This whole process begins with hearing, shravanam. If one can hear qualitatively, if one can hear meditatively, if one can open one's heart and allow the transcendental sound vibrations to penetrate deep, 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 deep into one's consciousness, then what those sound vibrations do is burn away all the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, which has been keeping one caught up in karma chakra for millions and billions of lifetimes. So we have to learn, we have to master this art of hearing. This will bring us all perfection. Simply learning how to hear very nicely. And then once we've heard nicely, we can chant nicely. Once we chant nicely, we hear nicely, we can serve nicely. And then we'll be able to remember very nicely Krishna in all times, places, and circumstances. Smadhanam. Now we're remembering so many mundane things. Our consciousnesses are so polluted with so many mundane remembrances. But as you have more Krishna consciousness, more hearing, more serving, more Krishna consciousness experiences, then because these are actually much more attractive and more relishable than anything you could ever experience in the material world, these transcendental remembrances will gradually squeeze out all the mundane remembrances. I know when I first joined, I had so many memories of mundane activities, doing this, doing that, going here, going there. And I was thinking, how am I going to get rid of all this stuff polluting my brain, all these remembrances of mundane sense gratification? But then I realized that actually every day you engage in devotional service, you're putting transcendental memories into your psyche. And gradually the other stuff just squeezed out. Now, you can remember, well, I went to that Rath Yatra festival, I went to Mayapur, I went to Vrindavan, or there was that one arti that one morning, or that one Guru Puja, or that one class, or that one day out on Sankirtan, you see. You start to, the more you sincerely engage in devotional service, the more your consciousness becomes filled up with all these wonderful, wonderful memories of transcendental activities. So the mundane stuff just gets squeezed out because it's not nearly as attractive. It's only superficially attractive. Sense gratification is actually poison. It may appear to be nectar, but it's actually simply poison. Is it? So when you start to experience the real nectar of Krishna consciousness, start to really taste the nectar of Krishna, the name Krishna, who is the person Krishna himself, the nectar of associating with Vaishnavas, the nectar of serving the deities, the nectar of circumambulating Tulsi Devi, the nectar of honoring Prasadam. You see. The more you have these experiences, and that mundane stuff just kind of fades away, you see. So we have to have faith in this process. Sometimes devotees get bewildered in the beginning because they're so pulled by their materialistic remembrances and their illusory feeling that they actually enjoy it in that way. You see, they're pulled back. We have to remember that this is simply illusion. There's no pleasure in these mundane activities. Prabhupada compares it to a drop of water in the desert. Someone's dying of thirst in the desert, and you give them one drop of water in their tongue, will it save them? They will simply frustrate. One drop of water and a little eyedropper, ping. Oh, my dear sir, here's some water, you're dying of thirst. Here, have a drop of water. Will that help him? It will simply frustrate him. So, even if you could enjoy the pleasure of Lord Brahma being the chief demigod of the entire material universe, the pleasure of Brahmaji even is just a drop of water in the desert. So we have to understand the real nectar is in Krishna's name. That's where the real nectar is. Shat Krishna nama chatitadi sitapya vidya pato patata rasanasana vichikanu kinvadaranaranidam karyashai vajushta Samid Karnadibula Gudahantri. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within one's tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So it's a gradual process, as Rupa Goswami points out in this verse from the Upadeshamrita. It's gradual. There's a disease, you see. That disease is the desire for material sense gratification. But as you continue to chant Hare Krishna, you see, that name becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, and it squeezes out the desire for material sense pleasure. So therefore, we should have faith in this process, take it very devotedly, understanding I've been caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions and billions of lifetimes. I'm not going to become a pure devotee overnight. I'm not going to see Krishna face to face overnight. But if I stick to this process, I will be able to meet Krishna personally in due course of time and regain my original loving relationship with him. So even if it takes millions of lifetimes, that's okay. Or one lifetime, that's a great too. As Prabhupada confirmed, if we simply dedicate this one life, we can go back to Godhead and be with Krishna again. You see? So let us take this process very seriously, as Prabhupada has emphasized here in this purport. Seriously, enthusiastically, and joyously, let us embrace this process of Krishna consciousness as our only business in life. So perhaps there's some questions I can try to answer. Okay. If the Lord comes in your dreams and gives you indication to do something, should you take it seriously? Well, it could be a mental concoction also. It should be confirmed by the scriptures, by the spiritual master. How to conquer enviousness in Krishna consciousness and materially. Prabhupada personally told me that envy, how to use envy in Krishna's service. If you see somebody is getting more mercy than you're getting, then you can try harder so Krishna will recognize you also, Prabhupada told me. And as far as being envious materially, that doesn't make any sense. That means you're still thinking material life is enjoyable. Actually, you should feel sorry for those who are caught up in the material nature. To be envious of them is envious of those who are materially well situated more than you. It's insanity. When we tell ourselves that we are strong and the best to help us be full with positive thoughts, and how to avoid pride that gets developed subconsciously. If you want to think you're the best, you should think you're the If you want to think you're the most, you should think you're the most fallen. Actually, that's the best thing. You see, you can think I'm. But Prabhupada actually said this. He said, one devotee said, "Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen." Prabhupada said, "You're the most, not the most anything. You're simply insignificant." So don't get proud thinking, I'm really the most fallen. You know, I'm more humble than anybody else, you know, because I think I'm the most fallen. You got to look out for false ego. It's so easy to think, I feel myself lower than anybody else, therefore I'm actually higher than everybody else. So look out, just feel, as Prabhupada said, the most insignificant beggar when he signed his arrival prayers in the U.S., just feel you're insignificant. That's the right mood to be in. For marriage, is astrology very important? I didn't consult an astrologer, and I'm having a great marriage. It was arranged by our GBC, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and it's a fantastic marriage. If a person commits the sin of killing, for example, will he get a reaction? Sure. He will also have to be killed? Yes. Will the person who kills the sinner also get sin? We don't. In this age, we don't kill the sinners. If we were to kill the sinners, we'd have to all be killed. You see? We kill the sinful mentality by Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution, Prasadam distribution. If someone commits a sin by polluting the Ganges, what is the way to get to save yourself from the reaction? What did you do? You spat in the Ganga or something? If you make a mistake and commit an offense toward the Ganges, then you have to just beg forgiveness and don't do it again. Humans in remote tribes who doesn't have any culture or scriptures to guide them, do they get karma because they survive only on a meat diet? Yes, everyone gets karma. Ignorance is no excuse. They took that birth because they had a desire to live like that. So they get the karma. How did Hare Krishna mantra come to the world? Golokera Premadana Hari Nama Sankirtana. It has come by the mercy of great personalities. Hare Krishna mantra. What if I don't enjoy all the devotional activities? How can I fix my mind and consciousness in devotional service? Well, don't you worry about enjoying them. You just try to do them in such a way that Krishna will enjoy them, that your spiritual master will enjoy them. You can please the Vaishnavas. That's how you'll actually be satisfied. Don't you try to be the enjoyer. You try to give enjoyment to Krishna, to Guru and Vaishnavas. That's how you will enjoy. Is it okay to have a role model for your material life who is not Krishna conscious? It's like somebody in your office who's really successful and you also want to be successful. There's no harm if you do that. But, for some material purpose, somebody, let's say you're a you know, computer programmer or something, and the guy in the cubicle next to you is, he does a better job than you at writing code, and you can pick up a few tips from him, there's no harm. Who is Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's an interesting question. Who is Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself recited Om Vishnave Namaha 3 times and declared that he, Chaitanya, is not Krishna. Another occasion he told Krishna doesn't take avatar in Kali Yuga except as Kalki. So on what basis do you consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an incarnation of Krishna and the authoritative scriptures? Lord Chaitanya is simply Krishna in the mood of being a devotee. Therefore, he denied that he was Krishna. But he also revealed that he was Krishna as well in other times. I sometimes feel that if the goal of my life is to develop love for Krishna, then why get caught up in family life? Rather, I should give my life fully to the Lord. But I feel scared. Please help me in this confusion. One can remain brahmachari for the whole life. That's very auspicious. That's actually recommended if a man can do that. But if he's too much inclined for married life, then he can take married life and live as a brahmachari in married life, using sex only for procreation and raising a family in Krishna consciousness. That is also very good. Can you please explain Namabhas and Chaya Abhas, different stages of chanting? Well, there's basically 3 stages. The offensive stage, the clearing stage, and the offenseless stage. We all begin in the offensive stage. That's why we have the 10 offenses. We have to learn those offenses. We recite them, we learn them, and we strictly avoid them. By endeavoring to avoid these offenses, sincerely endeavoring, then one enters into the clearing stage, where gradually they go away. When they're completely gone, then you're a pure devotee. Your chanting is now pure. How to tolerate the envious behavior of some relatives who want to victimize devotees? Well, it's better to avoid such personalities. Lord Chaitanya taught asat sangha tyag, give up the association of non-devotees. Based on the last sentence of the purport, seriousness of bhakti yoga is stressed here. I see the most serious personality was Maharaj Parikshit. He didn't even sleep or eat or drink for 7 days and nights, but seeing myself, I'm so far, far away from such seriousness. So how can I be this much serious like Maharaj Parikshit? I don't think you can imitate Maharaj Parikshit. No, I can't. But it also says that as long as I have a material body, I can't be something serious due to necessities of satisfying the body and food and care. Well, the thing is, you don't have to imitate Maharaj Parikshit. But if you will just take whatever prasadam you need to do your service nicely, and take whatever rest you need to do your service nicely, then you also can become a pure devotee. How to control the mind from sex desire? Keep fixing it on Krishna. Krishna, sex desire means under the influence of Kamadev or Madan. But Krishna is Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. So if you will fix your mind on Krishna, then Madan will leave you alone. It is stressed that one should hear Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, and it's also stressed that one should read daily. Out of these two, which is more important? Well, by hearing the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, you are reading daily. You're killing 2 birds with 1 stone. You're reading and you're... So Bhagavatam means you are reading Bhagavatam. By hearing it, whether you read it yourself or you hear it read to you, it's the same thing. But I have just enough time for one of them. Then which should I choose? Prabhupada said we have to go to Bhagavatam class. That's his order. Prabhupada mandated we all attend Bhagavatam class. So one should attend the Bhagavatam class. And for extra reading, I know I complained to Prabhupada. I was a young brahmachari. I complained. I wrote him a letter saying, Prabhupada, I don't have enough time to read. He didn't like my argument. He said, there's much time in the day for reading. But he said, what is the good of so much study without practice? So, you know, Prabhupada got in my case. He didn't buy my argument. So if you're really serious to read, Krishna, you know, actually you can even skip a meal if you're that serious, you know. You can just take breakfast in the morning and skip your lunch if you're really that keen. That's what I did at one point. Because as I explained the other day, when I joined, there was no such thing as cassette tapes in the lecture. You couldn't hear Prabhupada's lectures unless you were sitting in one when I joined ISKCON. And then a wonderful thing happened, cassette tapes, Kijai. Now they're recording and they're sending out. You can subscribe to the Bhaktivedanta Tape Ministry. You get a wonderful envelope every week with all the latest lectures. Wow! But where's the time to sit and hear these lectures? You got to do this, got to do that, running, all the service we had to do. But I said, I don't need to eat that much. So I would just take a nice breakfast and skip lunch every day. And during lunch, I had the Brahmacharya Ashram all to myself to hear those tapes and take notes. And I have mini notebooks of all those notes I took from those tapes. So, you know, if you're really that keen to study, you know, you can take a big breakfast and skip lunch or something like that, you know. Just an example. The point is, where there's a will, there's a way. And if you want to read, Krishna will give you a way to do it. If you're really more interested in reading than you are in gratifying your tongue or other things. So just be, if you're enthusiastic to read, you'll find a way to do it, believe me. I remember for a year, I was so, at one time I went to a Houston temple to become the vice president, but then they decided somebody else should be the vice president and I should be the head cook. And it was so intense because that was a temple where every devotee went on sankirtan every day except for me. The temple president lived far away from the temple. I was all on myself and I had to do everything. Every RT I had to offer, I had to make, you know, do everything. Cook the offerings, make up the plate, offer the RT, transfer it, answer the telephone, answer, and then when a guest came, I'd take care of the guest. The whole thing was on my shoulders. And the only time I had to read was once a week when I cooked the burpee. I would stir the burpee with my right hand and hold the book with my left hand and read. Once a week I got to read while I was stirring the burpee. So that happens sometimes. You may be in a very intense situation. But one thing I did have, that we had a cassette player, and I heard the Hyderabad temple opening address hundreds of times. And those words of Prabhupada went really deep into my heart, again and again. For a whole year, I just heard that. We had two or three tapes, and that was it. And I was hearing him again. So Krishna will give you the facility to dive into these teachings. If you have that desire, even if you're intensely absorbed, with no time to sit down and read, you'll find a way to hear a tape while you're doing cutting vegetables. You know, you'll find some way if you're really intense to do that. Okay. One is destined to get what he is bound to, but the thought, I might not get what I desire, daunts me. What should be done? Does this desire Krishna? Why do you have any other desires? If you desire Krishna, you're guaranteed to get Krishna. You desire anything else, you may get it, you may not get it. So just do yourself a favor. Don't frustrate yourself. Desire Krishna and only Krishna, and you're guaranteed to be successful. I like devotees in Krishna consciousness, but when it comes to the association of devotees, I find it hard to appreciate devotees. Please advise how to have good relations with devotees. Every devotee is a saint. Even if they have bad qualities, every devotee is saintly. You have to appreciate the good quality of every single devotee. Just imagine, it happened to me one time years ago. I was doing for our center, I was doing a business as a travel business. And I went on what's called a fam trip for travel agents to Israel. And I was with all these karmis. It was just too much, you know. I was with this whole group of karmis going to the holy places of We went to the Sea of Galilee where Jesus walked on the water, and you know, but they were singing some silly song that I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless. They were singing to God, I will bless you. It was so. I couldn't stand it. But then there were some devotees in town. I didn't even know them, but I found out there were some devotees in Jerusalem. So that evening I went to associate them. It was like being in the desert and coming to an oasis. My point is, we take devotees for granted. We don't realize to have the devotees' association is the greatest blessing you could ever have in millions and billions of lifetime. To have the association of any devotee, you see. So that week in Jerusalem, I really realized how wonderful it is to have a devotee's association, even for a few minutes. It's our life. So beat your mind with shoes. You know, you have to appreciate every devotee's, even one moment's association. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra kai. Sadhu sangha levamata sarva siddhi hoi. We read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, even one moment's association with a sadhu can bestow all perfection upon one. So realize you're dealing with people who are very dear to Krishna, and you're not appreciating them. There's some problem you're having with your consciousness. You have to learn to appreciate the devotees. What is the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam? It's because it's Krishna himself. How should we prepare before visiting the Mayapur? Chant good rounds and follow the principles. Can Gita be taught to school children at the age of 10? Of course. Young children like toys and TV and mobile phones more than devotion, how to teach them. Well, my godbrother was a little boy at the time. His name was Dwarkadish Das. Prabhupada called him Mr. DDD, affectionately. So his father came to New Vrindavan, and his father was not a devotee, but some toys. And he offered little Dwarkadish the toys, and Dwarkadish refused him. He said, it is Maya. So Prabhupada really liked Mr. DDD. So these children should learn to be like Mr. DDD and be more interested in devotional service than in some mundane toys. Because will the toys save you the time of death? Will your little fire truck save you the time of death? You see? Children should learn these things. Is it Krishna or Krishna I heard? Is it Krishna or Krishna or Krishan I heard when we chant Hare Krishna? Or is it Krishna? Oh, we're chanting Krishna, we're not chanting the Draupadi when we chant Hare Krishna. I want to homeschool my daughter, but I feel she'll be left out of society. What do you think? It's very good to be left out of the material society. Actually, that was a whole thing back in the 60s. We dropped out of the material society. The hippies' philosophy was to drop out of the society. We call it the establishment. We want to drop out of it. We tried to start a new culture, but it didn't work. But Prabhupada gave us the real counterculture, you see. Should young children chant on beads? So, Prabhupada, what age? There's one letter where Prabhupada said at a certain age they should, I forget the exact age. That can be researched in the database. At what age they should start chanting on beads. Student life in Melbourne is very troublesome. It is hard to cope with studies and job. It becomes really hard to live devotional life along with this life. That's why you have to chant first, get up and chant your japa first before you head out to work or to your job. If you put Krishna first, there's a wonderful, actually, Bhakti Gita article by one of our lady devotees in Toronto. She's now initiated. She was Rashi Singh at the time. She was doing an MBA, and it was really intense, you know, really, really intense study she had to do. She came home from a hard day at school. She had an exam to study for, a paper to write, and she had her beads sitting there. She hadn't touched them the whole day. And she wondered, what should I do? Should I study for the exam, write the paper, or chant my beads? She said, I better do the beads first. And then everything made sense. I'm studying for Krishna. I'm writing this paper for Krishna. As soon as she chanted first, then everything became for Krishna, you see. So it's a very good, I never forgot that article, very nice article that Rashi Singh wrote. First do your chanting, you see. And then now I'm going to work for Krishna. I'm going to school for Krishna. Everything is for Krishna. Because you're offering the result of that to Krishna. But if you don't chant, you just get up and go to school or go to work, then why are you doing it? You know, you just become bewildered. How can we, as practicing devotees, live confidently in faith and not in fear? We end up focusing on our faults way too much, and then fall away. Actually, it's good to see your faults. The more I can see my faults, the more I become strong in Krishna consciousness. If I think I'm faultless, I'm a very advanced devotee now. I've been around for so many years. You know, I'm Brahman initiated. And yeah, I'm really advanced. You know, actually, one god brother I never forget. Many years ago in Gainesville, he announced one day. He said, "They just call me the Paramahamsa Brahmachari." Actually, he left ISKCON shortly after that. Our Paramahamsa Brahmachari went back to Maya Devi's lap shortly after that. You see. So it's good to realize, I'm not a Paramahamsa. I've got a problem with lust. I got a problem with anger. I got a problem with greed. I got a problem with envy. I got all kinds of problems. The more you can see your problems, the more you're going to appreciate devotees preaching when they point out your faults and go, "Well, thank you very much. You know, you reminded me." So it's good to see your faults. That's how you become very strong. Prabhupada himself said, "I have no love. I've been designated Bhakti Vedanta, but I have no Bhakti and no Vedanta." If Prabhupada says, "I have no knowledge and I know love," what is our position? And Lord Chaitanya also said, he said, "I have no love for Krishna. The proof is that in the separation of Krishna, I am not dying. If I truly loved him, I would die in his separation. The fact that I'm not dying proves I don't love him." So just try to be, you know, do a little reality check and realize, you know, we're fallen. We're very fallen, you see. And that actually empowers you. The more you can see things as they actually are, you become empowered in Krishna consciousness. How to engage children in devotional service? By doing it yourself and engaging them with you. I remember my disciple, Abhay Charan. He used to come every Sunday, help with the Sunday feast. He'd bring his little kid, and he'd sit him on the side with a little toy knife. You know, he was too young to have a real knife. So he had a little toy knife and with some scraps, and he'd be there doing his imitation cutting vegetables. You see, at the same time the father was cutting the real vegetables with a real knife. So engage them in doing devotional service. Gaudiya Sampradaya says Chaitanya is Krishna. Vallabha Sampradaya says Vallabhacharya is Radha. Prabhupada, actually Lord Chaitanya chastised the founder of the Vallabhacharya, the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. He was chastised by Lord Chaitanya. How come they did not recognize each other? Boy, this is really an illusion. This question is really, you don't understand why Lord Chaitanya didn't recognize Vallabhacharya. That's really, that question is an ignorant question. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He chastised Vallabhacharya for his independent mood. He wasn't Radharani. Why are you so confident about homeschooling? People in society look at it like it's crazy. Well, I have disciples who are doing it very successfully, and their children are coming out first class. Plus, we have our example of Ravi Gupta, who came out as a big, big Sanskrit professor in the university from homeschooling. Everyone celebrates birthday, whereas we understand that today's birth is in this material world is punishment. So should we celebrate birthday? Actually, it's not really necessary to celebrate. Actually, birthday is celebrated by service. On Krishna's birthday, he rendered service. The idea now, the birthday cake and the little hats, you know, and you blow the little thing out. This is not Vedic. Vedic, on your birthday, you give service. How to cut the rope of the three modes of material nature.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
Today is the birth of Lord Jesus Christ. What should our mood be? How do we glorify Lord Jesus Christ? By becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. That is the best way of celebrating Christmas. This wonderful kirtan that Ani Guru Prabhu led this morning, this is the fantastic Christmas celebration. You mentioned that devotees are well-wishers of everybody while helping others by hearing their problems and giving spiritual situations. Do we get their karma? No. By helping others, you become relieved from your own karma and they become relieved from their karma. It's not that you become polluted by preaching. The more you preach, the more you become purified. In a few instances after counseling, I experienced polluted consciousness. Well, it can be kind of taxing to hear about everybody's problems, but it's actually, if you're taking that mood of compassion, then that's the greatest service. I know Tamal Krishna Maharaj in India years ago, when the devotees first went there, they were just blissing out on Krishna consciousness. But then Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Goswami out to do all kinds of things dealing with karmis, and he felt he was getting polluted by that. He was in anxiety, going to meet this official, that going on these long taxi rides on the other side of Bombay to do this and that, and he was feeling polluted by this. And he was in anxiety about it. So Prabhupada told him, he said, you just give this one life in the service of Lord Chaitanya, whatever is lacking at the time of your death, Lord Chaitanya will cover for you and take you back to Godhead. So even you feel some strain from, you know, hearing other devotees' problems, being a counselor, you feel kind of pulled down by it, just continue to do that service and Lord Chaitanya will cover for you at the time of death because you've acted on his behalf. When we preach, the concept of spiritual happiness sounds very utopian to many new people. How do we explain? Instead of trying to explain, you know, like being really miserable and saying, you know, Krishna consciousness makes you really happy. Now, why don't you be blissful? Then you don't have to explain it. You see, that's how I was convinced. Vishnu John Swami came to Austin. He liked the Pied Piper, you know. And we were all like, he immediately, just coming into Austin, immediately got a huge following just because he was so blissful. Going out, and he came to this, there was a place where the hippies would hang out, there was a hippie street market. He just came there, he had no kartals, he had no mudanga, no harmonium, he just clapped his hands, started singing, and immediately attracted so many people because he was so blissful. So, trying to explain, you know, Krishna consciousness is really blissful. Just be ecstatic. And you don't have to explain it to them. They'll experience it just by having your association. Wow, this person is so ecstatic. I want to be like that. You see? How do I enhance the quality of my chanting? Rupa Goswami says, by carefully chanting. If you chant carefully, it will naturally be enhanced. Not carelessly, but carefully. Observe your japa. Am I chanting carelessly or carefully? If you tell someone in detail about Krishna and they still do not believe in Krishna, what do you do? What do you say to make them a devotee? You can't force anybody to be a devotee. They actually are devotees already, but it's just covered by layers and layers and layers after millions and billions of lifetimes. Millions and quadrillions and quintillions of layers of ignorance are now covering their devotee consciousness. You have to just help them become purified. Give them prasadam. find some way to connect them. You don't have to ask them to believe in Krishna. Just show them your compassion and your love. Make them feel good by being kind to them. And that will help them awaken their Krishna consciousness. Jesus Christ stayed in Jagannath Puri for some time. Can you please elaborate on that pastime and explain the connection? Prabhupada did cite from the Aquarian Gospel of Lord Jesus Christ at one Rath Yatra festival in the U.S. It's mentioned there that Jesus went to Jagannath Puri, he saw the Rath Yatra. There's no more details given. Why is chanting important? Because chanting purifies your heart and brings you back to your original, blissful, cognizant, fully cognizant nature as Krishna's devotee. And now the last question, unless somebody on the internet. Oh yeah, here's an internet question from West Virginia in the U.S. What do you tell someone who thinks you're being brainwashed by a cult? Well, there's different ways you can say it. Actually, our brains are dirty, they need washing. That's one thing you can say. But actually, this is not a brainwashed cult. We are educating people to actually understand what is real. This whole material society is a brainwashed cult. They're brainwashing you into thinking that you're your body. We are actually deprogrammers here. We are deprogramming you from the brainwashing that the material society did on you. So no, we're against brainwashing. We help you to become free from the influence of brainwashing. Let's see, here's another one from India, Leela Manjari Devi Dasi. Does unalloyed, unmotivated devotional service, a high katiya pratiyaka, come in Krishna prema stage only? Well, even a neophyte has a certain is a certain percentage of it. It becomes 100%. Prabhupada explains at the Asakti stage. He mentions in the Narada Bhakti Sutra, when one comes to the stage of Asakti, then he becomes completely pure. So we're getting some percentage of it even in the beginning, but it's not pure until you reach the Asakti stage, which is the gateway into bhava and then praying. Okay, now the last question. Let's see, I don't think there's any more on the internet. Let's check that real quick. Yes, Shamakuna from South Africa. How do we cultivate the ability to hear qualitatively to enable us to chant and serve very nicely? The same point I just made. Carefully chant. Let's see, Alexandra. Oh, there's a bunch of questions here. Alexandra now. Me and my daughter, almost every day we are facing situations of violence wherever we go. Most of the times we are witnesses of crimes of all sorts. I wonder what country that is. Whoa. Huh?
She's from London.
What?
She's from London.
In London? And Krishna protects us if we always intervene and helps the victims. Dear Gurudev, some days it's too much for us to wonder how we can serve Krishna in those situations. We can help people but not preach. Why is this happening to us daily? We never feel scared because we know Krishna protects us, but could we tell us, or could you tell us, which... They want to know why they're putting all these difficult situations. Actually, whatever situation any of us are put into is all orchestrated by Krishna himself for the purpose of purifying our consciousness and bringing us back to him as soon as possible. So if you understand that actually everything, as Prabhupada told us on his deathbed in Vrindavan, he said, everything is acting and moving under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. So one has to see that. And if you see Krishna is acting, and then you'll never be afraid and you'll expertly deal with every situation. And now the last one. As it is Krishmas today, could you please elaborate on our relationship with on the relationship shared between Christ and Krishna? Christ is a pure devotee of Krishna. In fact, the word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which is derived from the Sanskrit word Krishna, which is another way of saying Krishna. So there's a very intimate connection between Lord Jesus Christ and Krishna. Christ is a pure devotee of Krishna, but he could not teach the intimate aspects of the science of bhakti to those people. He just gave them very elementary understandings, and even that got him killed. So we worship Lord Jesus as a pure devotee of Krishna. Personally, I was actually studying the Bible to understand what was the perfection of Christ consciousness and how could I achieve that same consciousness. So I feel a very strong connection with Jesus because Jesus helped me to become a devotee of this movement. Because there's really no difference between Christ consciousness and Krishna consciousness. Of course, the people, the so-called Christians, don't understand that. Now I have some Christian arguing with me the teachings that the Buddha teaches against the teachings of Christ. He says, you're teaching reincarnation in a special diet. That's not Christianity. That's not what Jesus says. But they don't understand Christian. The Christians don't understand Christ. Their understanding is wrong. They think a Christian can eat anything, even meat, even cow. They go to church and they go to McDonald's after the church service. I mean, they don't understand, but they don't really understand Jesus Christ. But we understand Jesus Christ as Prabhupada has revealed to us. What is the untrue understanding of Lord Jesus Christ? So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandi.
His Grace Sikhishandasa Dakari ki
jai.